If you take pretty much any Bible and open it more or less to the middle, you have the hymn book of the ancient Jerusalem temple community, the Book of Psalms as we know it. And all of the Psalms were written as poems and often set to music and written for a specific purpose. Psalm 121 is the closing hymn of the hymn book in the Jerusalem temple community. I refer to it as the transition psalm. And the words are as follows. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. And to this point, there are various messages of steadfastness and strength. But the punchline to this wonderful song is this promise. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I've used this psalm in many, many ways and for lots of reasons in the course of my own ministry. It was the main scripture reading at Jeannie's and my wedding, often used at baptisms, always used at funerals. The Lord who doesn't intervene necessarily in ways that are obvious or even in ways that we wish, but who watches over constantly, but maybe most especially in times of transition. So what does it mean to have someone watching over you? You know, I mean, there's a, I think, realistic and undeniable surveillance component to this. You know, like he sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, that kind of thing. And, you know, for as creepy as that sometimes sounds, there's some comfort in that. And it's less, I think, a matter of trying to catch you when you goof up than simply being there in case you're needed. Sort of like if you're a child playing in the living room and dad's reading the paper in the chair. You know, that's kind of the, not paying close attention, but just in proximity enough, you know, to watch over. And as we grow with, you know, metaphorically, dad in the corner reading the paper, and another sense of the, you know, the watchers that God gives us through the people in our lives, we develop a kind of spiritual connection, I think, that helps us learn to develop strength, coping, decision-making, especially in times of transition. You know, we really do know, you know, what makes the most sense or is even the right thing to do because we develop, get all psycho about it, a conscience, but again, a spiritual connection with the people who have watched over us and have nurtured us. And, you know, that's especially poignant when one over whom you have watched is graduating from high school. And yet that presence has given them a lot. It's given them a lot of insight and courage and ways of making their way through this transition in others. There's a conscience, a consciousness, a spirit that comes from the Lord through our people who watches over us. Now, as we pointed out to the kids a little while ago, that doesn't mean you never grab the candy when no one's looking. Sometimes you do. And there's a component to God's watching over that is not only steadfast, but unwavering, regardless of your behavior. You know, he will take note of the things that we do that hurt other people or that hurt ourselves. But that doesn't change his presence or who we are before him. Because God's watchfulness has little to do with our behavior and everything to do with who we are. And, you know, we were named at baptism and claimed by God as his own. And that identity is what never changes. In 1996, John Kennedy's golf clubs went up for sale at auction. Four woods, eight irons, collectively sold at auction for $1.2 million. Not because they were expensive golf clubs, they're about 900 bucks worth of gen off the rack McGregor's, essentially. $1.2 million, not because of what they were, but to whom they belonged. $1.2 million for a set of golf clubs owned by John Kennedy. Now, the collectible market relates to scarcity. It relates to, again, who owned it. Can you imagine on the collectible market if up for auction was a one-of-a-kind item that was owned by God, how valuable he or she would be, how valuable you all are. Your identity doesn't change by your behavior. One of my favorite authors put it this way. He said, if you want to know who you are, as opposed to who you might think you are, keep an eye on where your feet carry you. Where do you go? With whom and what do you do? I don't think I'm the only one in this room, and I suspect this is true for Catherine and Jordan and Sierra, that you've asked yourself, how did I get here? I don't belong here. I don't belong doing this. And it's your identity that you know because of who watches over you that moves you forward, that gets you through. So there's this consciousness and identity that's a part of what it means to have a God who watches over your going out and your coming in. That means, metaphorically, finally, and spiritually, that you're never alone. But that presence of God, you know, you may feel when especially evocative music is played that reminds you of a story or an event or a person you've loved. But more than that, you have real people in your life. We call them, and the phrase is precisely chosen by the Apostle Paul, the body of Christ. To the three of you, there are people in this room whom God has used to literally touch you, whose feet God has used to walk toward you, whose arms God has used to embrace you or to yank you away from something. We are the body of Christ, and the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So the God who watches over our going out and our coming in gives us a spiritual consciousness or conscience, an unshakable identity, and finally, a community through which we are empowered and energized and educated and loved. Transitions are constitutive of life. And let me close these thoughts by talking just to Jordan and to Sierra and Catherine, although the rest of you can eavesdrop. You know, this is just among the first of what will be pivotal transitions in your life that are common to all of us. I mean, you will walk across a stage. You know, maybe someday you will walk down an aisle. Maybe someday you will walk into a workplace. Or maybe out of a workplace with a pink slip. You don't know. There are goings on, goings out, coming in. I will tell you this, and others have probably said it, and you won't believe them, and you won't believe me either. But there will come a day, and let's imagine it's the year 2043, 25 years from now. And you will be saying to yourself, maybe sitting next to somebody who's doing what you're doing today, you will say to yourself, I remember graduation. I blinked, and here I am. You know? And maybe when it occurs to you that you blinked, in the blink of an eye, you have gone through and to and from many transitions. Now, I will tell you that some of the decisions I've made in transitions that have worked out the least well, bad decisions if you want to just be blunt about it, occurred between the time I walked across the stage at high school graduation and walked across the stage at college graduation. You kind of get a dress rehearsal in college or in these college years because you'll live independently, but not really. You'll get a credit card with a pretty low limit, and you will figure out how to make good decisions by probably making a few that aren't so great. And after you blink and it's the year 2043, you will have gotten better at it. And the people you may be sitting next to then will have been relying on you to basically be the ones who watch over going out and coming in. Every time there's a decision, every time there's an event, every time there's a transition, you will have learned more truthfully and fully than you do now what we all know to be true and what is proclaimed by the psalmist. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.